If you thought this morning was short, tonight's going to be just as short. But you should be happy because you'll get out earlier and you can go eat and do whatever you were planning on doing. So, at least that's what I'm planning on doing. So I don't. If you don't, that's fine with me. I'm going to go do that. Proverbs chapter 3. And let's stand for the reading of God's word. Sorry, I said you didn't have to stand for singing, but you have to stand for this. Proverbs chapter 3, and if you're paying attention to know your Bible just a little bit, you already know where we're going with this. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to pick it up in verse 5, and I'll begin reading. The Bible says in verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Verse number 7, it says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." Verse 8, and then we'll pray. "And it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones." Let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Dear God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for another day of life that you've given to us. Lord, another day of blessing, living in America, and Lord, keeping our nation safe, and Lord, keeping our church safe, and God, just everything you've already done for us today, I pray that we would actually thank you and give you proper thanks for it. Pray and ask, Lord, that you'd be with this message, Lord. I pray that you would help me to bring honor and glory to you through it. I pray that somebody tonight maybe would get something from it. I know they will, because your word says it will not return void. Pray and just ask that you'd bless all these things. In your son's name we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 5. The first word we sang, trust and obey. That first verse, that verse 5 in chapter 3 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding." I don't know about you, but I have done a lot of trusting in other things. This evening, you've already trusted the chair that you're sitting on, right? You didn't even think nothing of it. You just came in, you sat down, you didn't check out to see if it was going to hold you. But many times I know that I have maybe thought something was going to hold me and I reached for maybe like a rail, or maybe it's more likely when I'm trying to do something in a tree or with a tree that I'm reach out for a branch, right? And then you put all your weight into that branch. And then what happens? It snaps, right? But you put all your trust in that thing. We don't even do that sometimes with God. And that's what this verse is saying here. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart." Don't be half-hearted in something. Half-hearted. I know that we've done some things that maybe were half-hearted. Maybe we went to do something for somebody in the church one time, and our heart wasn't really in it. I mean, yeah, we're doing it, so we're kind of there, but our heart wasn't fully in it. So I think sometimes maybe we say that we trust in God, but our heart isn't completely there. Maybe we have another option in the background. Well, if God doesn't come through, well, then I'll go about it this way. And to me, I guess I feel like that's a half-hearted response, especially if we're supposed to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. Just to give you a little backstory on kind of why I chose this tonight. A week or so ago, my family and I, we had hopes of moving into a new place, right? The week before, we had just been approved. But we got news last Thursday that we had no longer been approved and we were not able to rent the place. And this may seem nothing to you, but right now we're kind of in between places. We're probably as close to homeless as I would ever like to be at the moment. And so we had all of our trust, all of our hope that, hey, God just worked this out for us, that we would find this place. And then in a moment's notice, we got a call that said, hey, you guys are no longer qualified. I'm sorry, you can't. And there was nothing we could do. They said you could reapply in 6 months, but that's it. So we went down there and talked to them. And all I could think of is, God, why would you put this in front of us? Why would you show us this? Something this good. You know, when God shows you something, then you're just like, wow, God, you blessed us. And you praise him for it and you thank him for it. And it's way better than you had ever dreamt, right? That was what happened. He showed us this and it was amazing. It was God sent. And we knew it. And then in the same instance, it was like, wow, God, we were for sure that you put this in front of us. And at the same time, we're almost just as sure that it's gone. And I don't know, it was like the whole time, I just kept coming back to, just trust God. Trust God. He knows. Trust God. And I kept telling God, I said this many times to God. My prayers are more like just talking to God kind of deal. But I said, Lord, I don't understand why you would put that in front of us only to take it away again. I don't understand why you would do that. And I don't believe you did. So I still believe, I still trust that that place is for us. We didn't know then where we were going to live. This last Wednesday, though, we were able to have another meeting with them because everybody who mattered went on vacation the moment they called us and said we are not approved. And so it was almost a week's time from that time that we found out of waiting till everybody came back. But this last Wednesday, we went in there and they said, okay, let's continue the paperwork. God gave it back to us. But the whole time, God kept saying, trust me, trust me. And so this verse, just trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I know that's hard to do, even when it looks like maybe the thing that God put in front of you to bless you with is being ripped out from under you. Maybe the blessings that God has given you look like they're falling apart or they're not working out. God still wants us to trust him with all our heart. You know, and I don't know if maybe I could have gotten upset with God and went a different direction and started looking for someplace else and then, you know, found something that maybe wasn't the Lord's will. I don't know. But I know that this week that verse has meant a lot to me, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let's go down to verse number 6. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways. You know, I don't think when we use our GPS, it's very effective when we type in where we're going, especially when we don't know where we're going. And then we acknowledge it for maybe this turn or that turn, but then we think we know what we're doing, and we're like, oh, no, I think I'll turn here instead. I don't think we're going to get to really the destination that we're supposed to be getting to. There's going to be some rerouting involved, I'm sure, right? And sometimes we do this very same thing to God. Sometimes we're trusting in God, trusting in Him. We're maybe acknowledging Him in certain situations, and then maybe this other situation that we just, for whatever, maybe we're not trying to, but we're just like, I'm gonna do it this way. Or you just go ahead and do it this other way. And you didn't even ask the Lord what he would want or what direction he would want you to take or trust him for his guidance with it. You just did it. I know sometimes we do that, and then there is a rerouting that God has to do. Think of someone in the Bible who definitely has some rerouting. Jonah. He was already trying to go the opposite direction of what God said. That's the GPS keep saying rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. You know, Jonah went 180 degrees from the direction he was supposed to go. That doesn't mean that he didn't end up where he was supposed to be. But do you think if you had the choice with your life to make it to where God wants you and have smooth sailing, or would you like to rather end up going through all the obstacles that Jonah went through to get to where God was trying to take him? He saw multitudes of people turn to the Lord. He was used by God. But he took the hard way there. He went in a ship that these guys were mariners that knew what they were doing. They obviously had sailed many times before. So if they were freaking out that the ship was going to fall apart, break, they were in some pretty rough seas. I don't know if I'd want to go through rough seas just because I didn't want to acknowledge God and my decisions and my paths and put Him first. That's what that word acknowledge means. Acknowledge. Before we even decide that we're going to do anything, He needs to be the first one that we check with. I wrote down in my notes, it's like, I don't know, this is as simply as I can put it, before marriage and after marriage. Well, after you get married, not after marriage. Yeah. Before getting married and after being married. Before you're married, just go off and do whatever you want, right? You don't have to tell anybody you're leaving. You don't have to say, hey, I'll be back later. Well, maybe your parents, right? But then once you're out of the house, then you're free to do whatever you want when you want. You don't have to tell anybody you're coming home or anything. It's not like you have to, you get to. I'm digging myself a hole this evening, man. Thought I was only digging one this morning. But that's kind of how it is with God. Once you get married, then you're like, hey, honey, I'm going to be going over here and then I'll be back. God, He's not trying to lock you down. He just wants to be involved in everything that you're going to do. Same thing with being married. You know, you just tell that person, this is where I'm going, and you let them know because you love them and you want to include them in your personal life. God wants to be included in our personal lives like that. He wants to be acknowledged. He wants to be the first thing that we think about when we wake up and the last thing we think about when we go to bed. That's the kind of acknowledge that I see here. So we need to trust God, lean not on our own understanding or what we think might happen. Acknowledge Him before we do anything. And lastly, depart from sin. Depart from sin. It says in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Be not wise in thine own eyes and fear the Lord and depart from evil. I think the first half of verse 7 talks about maybe we're just ignorant to sin. Maybe we just, well, it doesn't affect me spiritually, so I'm just going to, it's okay. There was a family at one of the churches that we went to, and we taught in that church. And one lesson, we talked about drinking. And I can tell you this, his son, this man's son, had literally some questions, hard questions he was asking. Only because he heard from the pulpit and he heard from his Sunday school class that drinking was not right and drinking shouldn't be done. But he saw his family at home And his dad saying, no, drinking is fine. You're fine. And so he got to the point where he was upset with me and he said that I lied from the pulpit. I know that maybe the Bible doesn't say that drinking is a sin. It doesn't say like black and white. It doesn't say it in there. But you look at anywhere in the Bible that it talks about drinking, it is always negative. Every time. And if you wanna take it a step further, we are Christians, which means Christ-like. Christ never tasted wine. He said when he made wine at the wedding at Cana, he said, I'm not going to drink it. I'll drink it new with you in heaven. Doesn't mean that that was the wine that we're talking about that we see today, like alcohol or hard liquor. But what it does mean is that God wasn't even going to deal anything close to that. He was drinking new with you. Fresh squeezed grape juice is what he was talking about. That being said, I think that's maybe an ignorant thing. Maybe we think that, oh, that's something we can handle. Maybe that's a sin that's not big enough or not going to take me off my course. The Bible also says, hey, be wary of the little foxes. Because those foxes will spoil the whole vineyard. Just the little things. The little sins. Maybe one lie. Maybe one look. Maybe one taste. That's all it takes is one. Right here in my notes, it says depart from evil. And when I saw this, I was thinking about airplanes, right? You go and you go to SeaTac and you are about to take a trip. You pull up to, not the arrivals, but departures, right? When it comes to sin, we need a one-way ticket. We need to depart. One-way ticket. Too many of us today have a round-trip ticket for sin. Yeah, maybe this week we put it away and, hey, next week we roll back around and we're doing the same thing. Hey, you know what? Jesus still died for us knowing that we were going to do that. But his word right here says we need to depart from sin. A one-way ticket. We need to not continuously be coming back to it. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, turn there if you would. 14:34. Actually, scratch that. Turn to Proverbs 4:15. That's a lot closer. Half of you guys were already there. 4:15. In reference to that verse, departing from evil, it says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. I look at these, and a lot of these kind of sound the same. But I have each one of these circled in my Bible. Avoid it. Hey, don't. If you can, hey, stay completely away. If you have to go by it, maybe it's something at work that tempts you. Hey, don't get close to it there. If you can, completely avoid it. But if you have to go there, hey, don't get close to it. If you're in the middle of whatever it is that's taking you away from God, that evil, it's a turn from it and pass away. Hey, don't even remember it. Depart from evil. Bible says in 14:34, you can turn there now. I'm just going to read. It's not like we have to do it for sake of time, but I'm going to read it. It says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If we turn in turn with me also to Matthew chapter 24. It says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we wonder maybe why our nation has turned out how it is. It's because sin is rampant right now. (Clears throat) Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now, can I say this right here? We might not have a problem with trusting God. We might trust Him, right? We might not have a problem acknowledging Him. But if we have a problem departing from sin, I promise you our trusting and our acknowledging isn't anywhere close to what it should be. It's not. And I say that because if you look here in Matthew 24 and verse 12, it says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because gross sin, because people who are involved in sin shall abound, and it shall abound in our lives, the love of many shall wax cold." And you can tell now that hate is such a strong thing right now in our nation. Everybody hates this party. Everybody hates that person. Or everybody, especially our president right now. That's because so many people are living in sin. Back to trusting and acknowledging, and you're not going to trust and acknowledge God like you're supposed to if you don't depart from sin. Sin is a direct response to our love. Makes it cold. Maybe to the things of God. Maybe to our church. Love, period. What kind of love? If you turn with me also, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love, if you know anything, this is usually referred to as the love chapter. Now get this, and then we'll tie it in really quick. It says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity, love, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." So I looked up the very first word in our study tonight, that word trust. The synonyms for that word trust, the words that are alike, are believe. That's one of them. Right here, it says sin. Sin makes our love wax cold, right? Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Here, it says, "Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but truth, beareth all things, and believeth all things." Hey, trust. Trust is mentioned there. If our sin, if we have sin in our lives and we don't depart from it, that's going to make our love wax cold. If our love isn't how it should be, well then our love is going to be different than believing all things. It's going to be believing some things. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart." If our sin is in our life and we don't depart from it, then our love is going to affect our trust. We're not going to trust God in all things. They all go together. Sin affects our love. Love affects our trust. If we have sin, as the Bible says, it is a reproach to any people. Beareth all things, believeth all things. So tonight, I want to also look at the last portion of that verse. We'll go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 8. 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, and depart from evil. Verse 8 says, and it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. You know, I looked up health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Health to thy navel I didn't find so much on, but I really started looking at marrow. Our marrow. And our marrow is responsible for producing new cells within our body. Our marrow keeps our bodies healthy. Our marrow helps the body fight off sickness. And I was thinking, our marrow, God says he'll give health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. If our marrow gets infected or gets a disease, our bodies are in trouble. And I was thinking, verse 8, if we look at our bodies as being trust and acknowledge, and we look at the word, verse 7, as being an infection that might get into our marrow, we see that if maybe that infection reached our trust and our acknowledging God, then our bodies wouldn't be able to fight off the infection. We'd have to get a transplant. Just the same as our marrow is healthy, and God says he would bless us with it, we need to be watching sin in our lives to keep our spiritual health well. We don't want to have our spiritual health declining. Just as much as we would maybe do right or eat right, healthily right, or live healthy or abstain from certain foods or work out, that's how we need to be treating our spiritual life, our spiritual wellness. So tonight, we need to trust, acknowledge, and depart. God says he would bless us. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. That's some things that a lot of health gurus don't even know about. So how about you tonight? How's your trusting in God? How's your acknowledging God in every situation that you're about to go through? And lastly, have you departed from that sin that might be affecting those two? That might be hindering your spiritual wellness? Let's pray and then we'll be dismissed. Lord God, I thank you for these people, Lord. I thank you for pastor in this church. Pray that you would be with him, give him safety on his way home. Pray, Lord, that you'd just take, Lord, this simple thought, Lord, that we need to trust you in all things and acknowledge you in all things. But, Lord, that if we let sin into our lives and we let it stay there, that it could be detrimental to our spiritual health. Lord, I pray and ask that maybe tonight this would have spoken to somebody. And I pray and ask, God, that you would help us to think about our spiritual condition and trust you, acknowledge you, and depart from evil when we're faced with it, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done. And give us a great rest of the night and a safe trip home. In your son's name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. You may be dismissed.